We can go ahead and dismiss the children for our Sunday club and crush. They're already going. And if you will turn with me, John 14, we're going to be looking at verses 5 to 14 this morning. We've been working our way through the Gospel of John. And as you're turning there, I'll just tell you what. Years ago, I have a niece who was very small at the time, maybe four, somewhere around there. And one day, her mother found her. She was just looking all over the house, like everywhere. She was looking in the kitchen cupboard. She was looking under the couch. She was looking behind things, looking around things, looking in every room, checking behind chairs, whatever it was. And her mom said, what are you looking for? And she said, I'm looking for a husband. Which, of course, is not a bad goal. Marriage is a gift from God, but her timing was a bit off. And also, her way of looking for a husband was obviously a little bit misguided. She wasn't going to find one in the cupboards. But this morning, we're going to be thinking about someone else that people seek, and often seek in the wrong ways, in ways that are actually just as futile, really, as looking under the couch for a husband. But I'm talking about seeking God, God himself. Many people today, too, they do recognize that there must be some kind of God out there. And yet, when they go looking for him, they go looking in the wrong places and in the wrong ways. And it ends up being just as futile as looking under the couch for a husband. For example, I just went online. I asked ChatGPT, how can I find God? And it said it was very wordy, but it comes down to this. It says, that's a deeply personal question. There is not one single path. This is ChatGPT, not me. It said, some approach it through religion. Others look inward through spiritual practices. Some people find a sense of God in nature or love. Some people don't believe that God exists at all. But it might help to reflect on what you mean by God, and your answer shapes the path that you take. Basically, what ChatGPT or any AI does is just condense and regurgitate whatever it finds on the internet, which is obviously a fairly dangerous thing. That's why it told me that I'm the one that gets to decide what God is for myself. And then I can choose the path that I prefer to reach, the God that I prefer. But notice in all of this that I'm the one setting the terms. I get to decide who God is. I get to decide how I reach the God that I decide is there. But I remain in control. But is that really the way to find God? My niece may have had a very clear picture in her four-year-old mind of what a husband would be like and how she would find him behind the couch or whatever. But her beliefs could not make a husband actually appear there, no matter how strong her beliefs were. A husband is not something you can just dream into reality, however you prefer them to be, however you prefer to find them. But God is not that kind of thing either. You can't just dream him into reality however you prefer. God is who God is. We don't get to change him by our beliefs. We don't get to adjust him by our preferences. Only God gets to define who God is. So this morning, as we pick up Jesus' conversation with his disciples in John 14, Jesus is speaking to them about who God is and about how we can actually find him and what it looks like even to follow this path, the real path to the real God. Now remember, just to remember where we are in this, Jesus has been telling his disciples some difficult things. He's telling them in the last chapter especially how he's going to be leaving soon and they won't be able to follow right away, but they will follow later. At the beginning of this chapter, we saw this wonderful promise that he gives in the first few verses about the future, how the place he's going is his Father's house and he's going there to prepare a place for his people, so that they will come with him and live in my Father's house, he says, in a home with God himself. Amazing. That's the destination. That's where Jesus is leading his people. But the disciples want to know, how do we get there? So let's pick up this conversation as Thomas says in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Because Jesus has said, you know the way. But he says in verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. Jesus said he's going away. He's going to his Father's house and they will follow him later. But Thomas is confused. He says, how are we supposed to find the Father's house? Where is it? Now, Jesus just said in verse 3 that he was going to be the one. He was going to bring them there and that the destination is not just a nice house. The destination is the Father himself. Like verse 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. So the goal is to come to the Father. And then Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way to the Father. But he also shows us in these verses a bit about what it looks like to follow this way and what happens in our lives when we do. So we'll first look at how Jesus is the way to the Father. And then we'll look at what it looks like to follow this way. But first, Jesus is the way to the Father. I mean, how do we find God? Are there many paths to get to him? What path should we choose? Is he in the cupboards or under the couch or whatever? Jesus says in verse 6, there is a path to God. In fact, the path to God is him. It is Jesus. He is the way. He does not just create a trail for us to follow or point us in the right direction and just say, good luck, I hope you can make it. No, actually, he is the trail. He is the path to God himself. We've had a number of statements in this gospel where Jesus says, I am, using the words of God's revelation in the Old Testament, that he is the great I am. But Jesus uses that and explains in various ways more of who he is. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. All of these things show us more about who Jesus is. And now he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's answering Thomas's question, how can we know the way? Jesus says, if you know me, you know the way. But he also adds that he is, I am the truth and I am the life. And these are not three like totally different things that Jesus is saying. These things all go together. In fact, they must go together because for Jesus to be the way to God, the way that he can be the way to God is because he is the truth and because he is the life. So let's just think about how Jesus is the truth and the life and how that creates a way to the Father. How is Jesus the truth? Well, we've already seen in this gospel how Jesus is the Word of God. That is he is the full disclosure of who God is. Even in chapter 1, in verse 18, John tells us, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So throughout this gospel, we've seen how Jesus only says and does what the Father gives him to say and do. He displays the Father in the world through his teaching, through his miracles, everything he does, everything he says. But in fact, Jesus is not just saying true things about God. He is literally the embodiment of God himself. He is the embodiment of truth itself, with a capital T, because he is God himself. In the flesh, he is himself, the origin of all truth. So when he speaks of the truth, he is not just pointing beyond himself to something else or someone else. He is pointing to himself. He is the truth because he is God himself. That's why Jesus responds the way he does to Philip's question in verse 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." But look what Jesus says. Verse 9, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak in my own authority. It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of the works themselves." Jesus is saying, if you've seen him, you've seen God himself. Even the very first words of this gospel make that clear. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, it's hard to fully grasp because there is still a distinction between God the Father and God the Son. They are individual persons, and yet they are bound together in one nature, along with the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity, the three in one. And that is the great mystery, really, at the heart of reality itself, how they are three persons bound together so closely that Jesus can say, "I am in the Father is in me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." When Philip and the disciples looked at Jesus, they were looking at a member of the Trinity. They were looking at God. They were seeing God himself, their creator, in the flesh. And that's why Jesus can say, "I am the truth." Not "I always speak the truth," but "I am the truth." Because all truth comes from God. So all truth comes from him. But that's not all. He also says, "I am the life." Like the truth, Jesus is not just pointing to life. He is life. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Where's life? In him. That's where it comes from. He said in chapter 5, "As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." And Jesus can give that life to others, to people. He said in chapter 5, "A time is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He can raise the dead. He's not just alive. He is life. Life itself comes from him. He's the source. When Lazarus died, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he called Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus came. It's only because Jesus is the truth himself, and he is the life himself, that he can now create for us the way to God the Father. All of this comes together gloriously in the gospel. It's in the gospel where we see Jesus, who is the truth, create a way for us to come to God and receive his life. See, the reason we need the gospel is because of our sin. Our sin actually cuts us off from all of this. Our sin blocks the way to God, because in our sin, we turn away from him. We push him away. We become his enemies. We try to replace him or manipulate him or just get rid of him, anything rather than submitting to him and depending on him and trusting him and his love for us. Sin puts us on the wrong side of God's perfect justice. It blocks the way to God. It also twists the truth of God into a lie. Every sin ultimately is a lie against God, against the reality that he is our life, against the reality that he is our source of joy and peace and everything. When we sin, we lie, we pretend we don't need him. We pretend that we know better than he does. We lie and pretend that he maybe doesn't really care about us. Every sin is a lie against God and against the truth of who he is and against the truth of what he made us to be as well. So sin blocks the way. It replaces God's truth with our own lies. And finally, the result of sin is death, not life. Sin lies to us and tells us that we can find life for ourselves somewhere else, or we can create life for ourselves somewhere other than God. But there's no such thing. The reason death entered our world is because we cut ourselves off from God, the source of life. We twisted his truth into a lie. We ran away from the source of our own life. So sin blocks our way to God. It twists the truth of God into a lie. And the result is death, not life. Now, God could have left us in that condition. We would have deserved it. It would have been just. And we would have died in our sin without him. But he did not leave us there. Jesus came, took on our humanity so that he could take our sin, take our place, face the justice that we deserve for our sin. He went to the cross to take the death that our sin had earned on himself. And yet death itself could not hold the author of life, who is life himself. Even death had to give way to Jesus. He defeated death. That's what we'll be celebrating next week with Easter. He brought a greater life. He defeated our lies and brought a greater truth. He, and in doing these things, he cleared the way for us to come back to God without the barriers that sin had created. Jesus is the way to God, the only way to God, because he is the one who is the truth. He is the one who is the life. That's why there are not and there never will be many ways to God, like ChatGPT says. No other way to God could actually get us there, because no other way could actually deal with our sin or the justice and death that sin brings. There are not many ways to God, but thank God there is a way to God. He has provided a way at such great cost to himself. It's not a religious system. It's not some collection of good advice or good works that we need to do and tick off a list. He is the way himself. He has provided himself as our savior. He has come to bring us back to himself. But I want you to see that this way to God and this life and truth is not just for someday out there in the future. There is a glorious future for God's children. But the way and truth and life already, even now, today, changes everything for those who follow Jesus. Because Jesus is the way of life now. So let's look now down at verse 12. Jesus shifts from talking about himself and his Father to talking about what he is accomplishing for his people. How the way, the truth, and the life will transform everything for the people of God. He's the way of life now. He says in verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." He's telling us here that the one who believes in him will become like him and begin to do what he does, because they depend on him. So let's think about this, because this is what it looks like to follow the way to God. But first, we need to see that all of this depends on believing in Jesus. All these stunning promises that will do greater works, that we can ask anything in his name, and along with the promise that he already made about him preparing a place for us in the Father's own house. All of these promises come for whoever believes in me. Not whoever believes in themselves, or whoever tries very hard to please God with their good works. whoever is a very good person with good intentions. No, he says, these promises come for whoever believes in me. Anyone can believe in Jesus. And anyone who does believe and receive from him the life that only he can give will receive all these promises, but we must believe. We have to actually take Jesus at his word. We have to accept the salvation and life that he offers us. We have to accept that we need it. I mean, if we hold back and we think we know better, we're just unwilling to release control of our lives over to him. If we hold on to the old dream of trying to make God on our own terms and seek him on our own terms instead of accepting the terms that God has laid out and following him in obedience and trust and faith. If we don't follow him according to his way, we'll miss the way to God entirely. We might as well be looking for a husband in the kitchen cupboards. If you want to find God, you must follow the way he made for you. And that way is Jesus himself. So to follow, you must turn to Jesus in belief. You must trust him. Trust him with everything. Trust him with your whole self. Give everything you have over into his hands. Trust his words and follow his ways. You've got to let him set the course of your life right into eternity. He is the way. This is the way of salvation. This is the way of eternal life in the truth. But look what else Jesus says. When we follow this way, he says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they'll do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Our lives begin to take the shape of the image of Jesus. We do what he does. We obey his commands. This new life begins to show in our lives. The truth of Jesus begins to overflow out of what we're doing in our works. But it's crazy. He says, like, even greater works? Even greater than Jesus' works himself? How could our works ever be greater than the works of Jesus himself? How is that even possible? Well, the answer is, Jesus says, because I go to the Father. They will do greater works because I'm going to the Father. So the reason Jesus can say our works will be even greater is because of what Jesus is accomplishing in his going. He says, because I go. Remember, the way he's going to the Father is by way of the cross, paying for our sin. He's going to rise again in power. He's going to ascend into glory. And when all this is accomplished, he will empower his people with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is going to the Father, but he's also going to be with us, in the Holy Spirit, empowering our greater works. So they're not just our works. They're actually the works of God himself, of Jesus himself, bringing life to his people and overflowing in the same kinds of works that he himself does. They're the works of God. They're the outworking of his truth and his life, which flows into his people and overflows out of them. When Jesus walked on earth as a man, all his incredible signs, his miracles, his teaching, it all pointed forward to his death and resurrection, what that would mean, that salvation that he would win. But now that salvation is won. So we're on the greater side of salvation now. We're on the side of salvation that where it's accomplished, where God's presence now lives freely in his people, and God is building his kingdom on earth. So now, through his people, God himself is accomplishing greater works even than the miracle of Jesus, the miraculous things that Jesus did. God is doing even greater works now because he's accomplishing eternal salvation. He's building an eternal kingdom in the hearts of people all over the world. And you see this play out like in the book of Acts that we've been reading and we just finished. We usually call that the Acts of the Apostles, but you could just as well call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, because it's not the Apostles' power that's bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. It's the power of Jesus. It's the power of Jesus working through his people, spreading out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, bursting out to the ends of the earth. And that's still true even today. Jesus is still working. He's not limited to one place. He's not limited to one body. His body now is his people all over the world doing these greater things, not in our strength. God's people are powered by Jesus's life, resurrection life, by his truth working into our lives, making us into his image, bringing new life then to others in the miracle of salvation. That is the greatest work of all, that a heart can be transformed with new life. And that has to be done only in complete dependence on Jesus. All of it comes from him. We can't work new life into anybody. It can only come through the gospel, through what Jesus has accomplished. And that's why he says in verse 13 and 14, we must pray, because we must depend on him. But he says this wonderfully encouraging thing, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. The key here is that Jesus is the one who powers our works, our greater works. He is the way to God, not just a ticket to heaven. He is the way now. He is the strength for every step of the way. He powers us with his resurrection life. He leads us forward. He makes our lives a representation of his truth. Just as he lived his life on earth as the exact representation of God. We can't live this life on our own, in our own strength. He is our life. We need him. We need to depend on him entirely. And that's why he says, ask. He calls us to ask him in my name so that the Father may be glorified. And we can ask for anything that we need. He hasn't left us on our own. He has everything we need to live on this way to the Father, to represent his truth, to live his life. And he gives it generously. He tells us to ask for anything we need. But we must recognize our need. We must recognize that we have that need. And so then turn to him to ask. But when he says we should ask in his name represents all that he is as the embodiment of truth itself. His name represents his authority as God himself. When we ask in the name of Jesus, we should be asking in line with his truth. And we should be asking in submission to his authority, because we represent his name, not our name. So that means when he says, ask anything in my name, it doesn't mean we just tack the word Jesus onto the end of any request and he automatically must give it. Like we put this coin into the machine and we get whatever we want. I want a pony Jesus in Jesus' name. Poof, there's a pony. No, that's not the way this works. He's saying that he will give us anything we need to follow his way, to live his truth in submission to him, in the power, the resurrection power of his life. Anything we need to do that, he has it. And he says, ask me and I will give it to you. And you can live this way, this truth with this life. I will give it. What an encouraging thing for him to say. We can ask for anything we need to live under his name in the power of his life, and he will give it. We don't have what it takes. In our sin, we have lies. We don't have the truth. In our sin, we have death, not the life. Everything we need is in Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. When we come to him, when we ask him in his name, believing that he has provided all that we need, and trusting ourselves in dependence and obedience to his way, his truth, his life, we come in dependence and we can receive in him everything that we need. What path are you following this morning? Hoping that you'll find God or truth or life? Are you seeking God your own way? Trying to create your own version of God for yourself? Trying to create your own way of finding him, like my niece searching the cupboards for a husband. God has provided a way for you to come to him. It's the only way that could possibly work. Jesus, our Savior, who cleanses sin and gives his life in the place of our death. Where are you looking for God? Where are you looking for life? Look to Jesus. Where are you looking for truth? Are you looking in your own head or in your own logic or reason or to some clever sounding person on YouTube or on the telly or in a book or something? Look to the source. Look to truth himself. Look to Jesus. He is the way to God. He is the truth that renews our minds. He himself is the life that lasts forever. Everything you need is in Jesus. Believe him. And trust yourself to him. Ask freely for whatever you need to follow him, for his strength, to take the next step, to represent his name, to live out his truth in obedience to him. He will show you how to follow his way if you ask him. He will give you the strength you need for the next step of obedience if you ask him. He will teach you what is true. He will give you the gift of life itself. Come, believe, and ask, and keep asking. Don't hold back. He wants to give. Don't be comfortable and just pretend you don't need him anymore. Everything you need is here. Everything you need is in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Lord, we need you so much more than we realize. We need your strength. We need your truth. We have so many lies bombarding us all the time and even rising in our own hearts. We need your truth to shape us, Lord, to shape our minds. We need your way to guide our steps. We need your life, Lord. We need you so desperately, every day, every moment. Lord, help us to come to you. Help our hearts to turn to you. Help our feet to follow you. Lord, give us the strength that we need. Give us the life that we need. We pray it in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen.